Welcome to Divine Intimacy Radio, a co-production of EWTN Radio and SpiritualDirection.com, where we provide you with a spiritual haven of rest and explore the riches of the wisdom of the saints and the path to union with God.
This is Dan and Stephanie Burke. Welcome to Divine Intimacy Radio, your radio haven of rest.
Your hermitage of the heart.
Your monastery of the mind, where we lift our hearts and minds to heaven to draw upon the wisdom of the saints. If you have struggled with finding your way into deeper holiness, overcoming sin, overcoming tendencies in yourself, or finding virtue that you aspire to, this is the show for you. We're talking with Bernard Streiselberger, and Stephanie's going to introduce him in a second, about the pathway to wholeness, if you will, to spiritual maturity, to emotional maturity. And we're speaking through a series of important concepts: self-knowledge, self-acceptance, self-possession, which then leads us to self-gift. Stephanie, who is this guy we're going to be talking to?
Well, Bernard Streiselberger is a native of Austria. He has a master's in psychotherapy science, specializing in trauma therapy, which others would know as EMDR. From 2016 to 2020, he lived in a Cistercian monastery and was formed as a Catholic monk. He then went to further his studies and graduated from Franciscan University with a master's in theology in 2023. He has been working with clients for more than 14 years, utilizing everything he has learned through studying and his personal experience. Welcome back, Bernard.
Thank you so much for having me. Thank you.
So Bernard, we left off from the last show speaking about affirmation. Like, I asked you the question, what's the greatest barrier to self-knowledge? Because we work with, I don't know, thousands of people. Our community has over 5,000 members now, all from all over the world. And one of the most heartbreaking things that I see personally, and it makes me emotional even thinking about it, is when I see good people who are just completely stuck spiritually. Mm-hmm. And where I see most of that stuckness could be described, I don't know if you agree, Stephanie, as a lack of self-knowledge or self-awareness.
In the context of Godward self-knowledge,
yeah.
Right? That they are good, right?
That's a big deal.
They yeah. are good. They are created good. I cannot emphasize more how many times I've seen breakthroughs of what Bernard had mentioned in the previous show about the importance that individuals know that they are good. They mm-hmm. are created good, and they're good in the eyes of God. Mm-hmm. You know, the Lord is not fixated on your brokenness, on your wounds, on your sins, on your failings, on your imperfections. He loves you,
right?
Because he created you good, and the entirety of his being is to call you back into that reality.
Whenever we're working through this with people, I don't know, either in Divine Intimacy and Marriage Retreats or when I teach on prayer, I like to tell people that, think of a good parent. A good parent, when the diaper is full, loves the baby and is like, oh, I got to solve it. And a good parent likes the baby when the diaper is empty.
Yeah.
Right? And so a good father is better than any good parent. And when your diaper is full and you made a big mess everywhere and you found the chocolate and the chocolate now is on the carpet and on the drapes and all over your body, the good parent laughs and
or cries.
Or cries. But no, doesn't the love doesn't dissipate.
The love never dissipates.
You know, it's not like, going to be excoriation. It's like, yeah, okay, let's teach you.
Let's
clean you up.
Let's clean you up and put you back
Let's
together.
Take some pictures first so we can yeah. show everybody. Yeah, let's yeah. clean you up. But So I'm glad you brought that up.
Yeah, I just love what we're talking about here. This essence of emotional maturity and self-knowledge and self-acceptance, self-possession, self-gift. And, you know, you referenced during a break the going through the purgative, illuminative, and unitive ways to help us understand how do we get there with Bernard. I'm just excited to keep talking.
Yeah. And so where we were with Bernard is I asked him, what's the greatest barrier? He said the lack of affirmation mm-hmm. of goodness from parents, you know, who probably struggle with that. So how do we rectify it then, Bernard, if we're, let's say, a spiritual director or we're a friend you know, we do a lot of work here at the retreat center. We have a gentleman who stepped out of seminary. We have a young woman who was in a religious order. We have, you know, we have people constantly through all of our formation who are searching for what God's will. And part of that is, is getting to this reality.
Right.
Yeah. So parts of my work as a coach, like I have a counseling license in Austria, but here in America, I'm operating out of a coaching framework and I'm partnering with the Bars Institute. I'm working together with Sue Bars and she gave me the title Bars Life Coach, which I feel very privileged. And Connor Bars developed affirmation therapy, right? And what we try to do is simply authentic sitting with our clients and basically affirm their goodness, not just with our words or motivational phrases and compliments. Of course, motivational phrases can be very edifying and have a value in themselves. But what Connor Bars defines as affirmation is way deeper. It's basically describing living the affirming life, like having an attitude towards another human person that deeply respects their dignity and goodness. It's basically a whole lifestyle, not just positive motivational phrases that I say. And this is basically a task for my own life that I want to grow in, that living the affirming life as much as I can, because I know how it feels. I had a spiritual father in Austria. I believe he is a very saintly man. And simply sitting in his presence without words felt so good and affirming of my own goodness that sometimes it caused me to have tears, because, yeah, simply sitting in his presence was deeply affirming of my own goodness. And I think that's what we all crave. That's what we all need in order to start embracing ourselves, in order to grow in self-knowledge, in order to feel secure and at peace with myself, with my emotion, with my sexuality, with my all of my faculties, my body. I basically need to be affirmed, see my own goodness, be able to receive myself as a gift so now, I can affirm others in their giftedness. Yeah.
Some might be listening in and saying, yeah, but what about sin? Yeah, but what about brokenness? Yeah, but what about, if you do that, are you overlooking? Now, this is Javert speaking, the spirit of Javert in someone speaking. You know, you're broken, you need to pay. It's a justice orientation, but there's varying degrees of that. But a lot of people, that's just the way they think about others. They look at them and they see only the brokenness. What's wrong there?
I think what's wrong is here that we don't distinguish between feelings and actions, for example, or between the goodness of the human person created in image and likeness of God versus deliberate actions. Even the church makes proper distinctions between when a sin is actually, in fact, mortally sinful or maybe not, right? It has to be grave matter. It has to be full knowledge and full consent. And if those, if one of these three categories is not met, then the sin is not fully sin. So I think actions can, of course, be virtuous or vicious or sinful. Of course, that has an impact on the person itself, but that doesn't neglect the imago Dei, the image of God, right? I mean, the question is now that we can ask, does the image of God disappear if a person is condemned to hell or has condemned himself to hell? Maybe one of the reasons why the soul is eternal, because it has the imago Dei.
You know, Stephanie has often said, which I love it. It's really, you are not your sin.
Yeah, I was going to say it.
You were going to say it. Okay.
You beat me.
You talk about it. You know?
No, I think that's such that's in everything that you're saying. That was what was coming to mind, is helping the individual through that affirmation to understand that you are not your sin. I used to work with a boss that said, you know, in this situation that we're in, we're only as good as our last mistake, you know, and that's a terrible place to live. That if we carry around the burden of I'm only as good as my last mistake, that's not how God sees us. That's not how we should see others. That if the Lord has washed away our sin in the ocean of his mercy, then who are we to hold on to that? Who are we to continue to punish ourselves because of our last mistake.
That's
right?
The devil's game.
That is the devil's game, that of condemnation. Yeah, so important.
And I think the devil also loves to make us feel guilty if we have certain emotions, right? Mm-hmm. Because the catechism very clearly teaches number 1767, passions in themselves are neither morally good nor evil. Like morally speaking, emotions, passions are morally neutral. Of course, they can get morally qualified on the level of the will, depending on what the will chooses to do. But I think that the devil always makes us feel very guilty if we already feel something, even though we have not yet acted upon.
Yeah, it is a difficult thing. I became angry. Wrath used to be my big sin, and so it's foreign to me most of the time. But not too long ago, I became angry. In two cases, one, I said something that was fairly innocuous but not good. It wasn't in and of itself sinful, but it wasn't great. And then in another case, I was purely silent and in my own world. I still went to confession because I feel like the anger was drawing me to either unforgiveness or disdain or dislike or
division.
Orientation to, right? Division. Yeah. And I wanted to receive. So it certainly wasn't mortal. But I wanted to receive the grace to fight that emotion in me. Tell me, we've got to head to a break here, but after we get back from the break, tell me if I'm misunderstanding or misapplying this teaching or how I could better understand or apply this teaching that just because you feel it doesn't mean it's sinful. And then where is the dividing line between feeling something intensely like anger? And then when does it become an imperfection? And then when does it become a venial sin? Obviously, we know mortal sin is yelling, screaming, hitting, whatever. But we'll be right back with Bernard Streiselberger, who is a Thomistic psychologist who understands the faith very well and really enjoying this conversation. I hope you are too. If you want to find out more about him, go to threshmountains.com. T-H-R-E-S-H mountains.com, which basically is the English translation of his last name, Streiselberger, threshmountains.com. We'll be right back. Friends, we have a great course that I am super excited that we're offering at the Avila Institute based on one of the bishops I revere the most is Bishop Athanasius Schneider, which of course the course is based on his beautiful work called Credo, which is a catechism that he assembled. Catechisms are assembled typically to deal with issues in the times in which they emerge, to correct, clarify, whatever it is. And Bishop Schneider is given the church a great gift in Credo to deal with a lot of the modern issues that we face, like what is authentic faith passed down to us through tradition and the magisterium? How do we apply this faith in our lives? So really encourage you. I mean this in a, I'm always talking about the great courses we have, but in terms of a top 10 list, this is going to be in the top 10. It's being taught by Timothy Flanders, who is a fantastic teacher, scholar on these matters. So you need to apply by June 2nd of 2026. It's going to be Tuesdays at 1 p.m. Eastern. Go to avila-institute.org to sign up for Credo, Authentic Faith and Practice in an Age of Confusion. Welcome back to Divine Intimacy Radio. We're talking about how to grow spiritually, and it's the emphasis of the first few mansions of St. Teresa of Avila's interior castle, which is coming to a Godward self-knowledge. And then we're talking about the idea of self-acceptance. So before the break, Bernard, we talked about the issue of that you feel something doesn't mean it's sinful, But when does it become sin, and do you have to deal with it that way?
Yeah, I appreciate that question. And thank you also, Dan, for sharing vulnerably about your own experience of anger. And I think anger is such a perfect example because, I mean, we all have that emotion, right? And anger, St. Thomas would say, anger is a normal human reaction towards injustice, towards anything that's unjust. Mm-hmm. And of course, the way we express the anger then can be also righteous or unrighteous, right? So again, the mortal sin of wrath is not in the emotion. It's like, it's basically how I decide to maybe respond to something that's, I don't know, becomes very revengeful or rageful, bitter, with evil intentions, right? But we see in the example of Jesus that there is a virtuous, righteous expression of anger, right? Jesus was angry multiple times. And of course, if we would say that anger in itself is sinful, then we would say Jesus committed sin because he was angry, right? But when does sin start? I mean, I think with anger, it is kind of difficult because it's such a strong, powerful emotion that can fire us up very quickly. Again, I think sin starts when we willfully, deliberately choose moral evil, basically, right?
Mm-hmm.
In thoughts, words, and deeds, right? When we go to Mass, we pray, I have sinned in my thoughts, words, and deeds. So when does my thinking, basically my willful thinking, maybe automatic thoughts that pop into my mind where I have not deliberately chosen these thoughts may not yet be sinful either. But I think sin starts when I'm in my thoughts, words, and deeds choose something that is evil. Of course, anger can absolutely blow that up and out of proportion, right?
Yeah.
So emotional maturity is basically me being able to know my anger, be able to feel it. Then self-possession means I can own it as a gift from God that is meant for me to benefit myself and others and for the glory of God. And then self-gift and self-possession is the ownership and the responsibility. And then self-gift is I can use the anger. For example, when Jesus drove out the money changers in the temple, that was a form of self-gift where Jesus was defending the Father, but also I think Jesus also had a sense against a stance against abuse in general because he was representing his temple, his body, which is us. So, yeah.
Yeah. You know, something that you said is so incredibly important. I don't want us to move past it too quickly. You said that what we feel, or, you know, the passion that we feel that can end up being a sin, if it's rightly ordered, it can benefit the kingdom. That when we accept, I'm angry, I'm frustrated, this is difficult, you know, whatever it is, that there's this beautiful gift of when I have self-possession and acceptance of what I'm feeling, and I rightly order that to the Lord, then it can be purified and used for the kingdom.
Yeah, I think the challenge is, as someone who struggled with wrath, is I like to use a color wheel to illustrate the progression. So green is I'm fine, and yellow is I'm irritated, I'm, you know, a little agitated. Deep yellow, I'm starting to get upset. Red is the realm in which I'm not able to effectively manage. If I get that far, that's essentially the near occasion of sin at the least, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So if I allowed it to get that far, then something's going on that's pretty deep and challenging.
Yeah. But there's a power in that, right? If we think about anger, there's a lot of energy and power in it.
Energy to do the right thing. It's part of God's design.
Right.
Yeah.
So then we hear the Lord say, learn from me, for I am meek and humble of heart.
Right.
The meekness is not weakness. Power under control.
Yeah.
So it's this really beautiful understanding that we are made in such a way, we're designed according to God's design. Each of us is like a different facet of a beautiful diamond, with him having all of the facets.
Yeah.
And together we're complete. But you have a particular facet in design that if it's given over to your passions, you will be destructive.
Right.
But if it's given over to the Lord and rightly ordered, it can be used for good, just as mine is a different design.
Yeah.
And I don't have to be you, and you don't have to be me, and Bernard doesn't have to be like us. So there's this beautiful understanding of I accept who I am.
Yeah.
Then I move into this self-possession of having this rightly ordered to the Lord, where then I can become a gift.
Yeah.
Right.
The what I was heading towards too, all of that being true, is though when you get into red, and now we're turning this into a personal counseling session, when you get into red, I would describe that realm as there are some psychological things that begin to happen. Your adrenaline goes up.
Your intellect goes down.
Your ability to reason declines. You become myopic and super focused in your reasoning and whatever.
You become profoundly narcissistic.
Right. Because why is that? I mean, that gift of that passion is for when, somebody's coming at my wife to harm her, and it's a male and he's bigger than her and he's going to, so I become laser focused and I'm going to take that guy out. But that's fine. That's a good use of red. But in terms of interpersonal relationships, I've found that I am, as soon as I get into red, I have to disengage. Now, thanks be to God, it's very rare, but I have to disengage because that's the realm where the strength of my will is not sufficient to manage the energy. Mm-hmm. I know, speak to that.
But that comes.
Okay. Yeah, let me go ahead, Bernard.
No, I think the way you described it is so beautiful. I think that's exactly how it happens, that at some point the emotion can be so strong that it can flood intellect and will, and intellect and will are not able to govern and guide it anymore properly.
Right.
Of course, in an case of extreme danger where somebody attacks my wife, of course, I guess I have more free room to let my emotions run the show, in a sense, because I want to protect my wife. But in normal day-to-day living, I want to be aware of my... I mean, the opposite is also true, Dan, that it's very likely if I'm not comfortable with my anger, that as soon as anger arises, that I may want to repress it or suppress it because I feel it may be already sinful. But what happens here is I basically repress the anger, maybe with another emotion of fear, for example, or with courage or hope, because I don't want to be sinful. But it's like pressing down a suspension, a metal spring, right? It's only a question of time how long I can hold that down. And the suspension will backfire and poof, and I will have an angry explosion.
Sure.
But that's a neurotic process because I cannot possess my anger. So actually possessing, being able to feel and possess it and handle it responsibly is a better way forward towards emotional maturity than just pushing it away.
Yeah.
I think that's been part of my healing is I don't see myself as sinful if I start getting into irritated or whatever all the time. I understand the distinction between what I feel and what I do with what I feel. And I think that's a part of why I've been experienced so much healing in it. But the other aspect I want to ask about is demonic manifestation in this context, because there are times, of course, when extremes of emotion, which can lead to destructive behavior, are influenced by the demonic.
Yeah.
So then we renounce the spirit of anger, let's say. But what we're not doing is suppressing anger. We're recognizing there could be a demonic component. Do you work in that realm at all?
Yeah. In fact, like in Austria, when I was in the monastery and working as a counselor, I was the assistant of an exorcist, my spiritual father. He's an exorcist, and it was a very fruitful ministry. And yeah, I like it very much what you just mentioned. We can also use, for example, another psychology, the internal family system or parts work. I don't know if you're familiar with that.
I have. I've heard, yeah.
Yeah. So let's say anger is a part, right? And let's say a demon has attached himself to that part. I think it would be wonderful, of course, to renounce, reject, rebuke that spirit and cast him basically out. At the same time, I want to affirm my own part, right? Like it's a delicate dance back and forth. It's not easy. That's why emotional maturation is such a long process over years, even.
Yeah, I can attest. Yeah. A really long process.
Well, it takes us a long time to get in the mess that we're in, right? So it's going to take a long time. You know, we don't get to flip a switch.
I think it's longer to get out than it is to get in.
I don't know. It depends on if we have the help of somebody like Bernard.
Right, or a good exorcist.
And Conrad Barres, yeah. Or a good priest, and the sacraments and such, you know.
We're going to need to close out.
Okay. Well, this has been a really beautiful conversation.
Can you move to the retreat center and we can just keep talking indefinitely? That would be a great thing.
Yeah.
But if you want to find out more about Bernard Streiselberger, go to threshmountains.com, threshmountains.com. I've talked with Bernard extensively offline and really trust him in the way that he thinks and orients his heart and mind to the church and an understanding of the human person, which is true to Catholic teaching, which is so important to healthy Catholic psychology and psychological care. So he has my endorsement. So head out to threshmountains.com to learn more about him. I've referred a number of people to him for spiritual care, counseling, that sort of thing. He's a good man. Bernard, thank you so much for being with us on Divine Intimacy Radio.
I appreciate it. Thank you so much. Thank you for having me.
Until next time, may the God of peace make you perfect in holiness. May he preserve you whole and entire, spirit, soul, and body, irreproachable at the coming of our Lord, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Learn more about the interior life. Visit spiritualdirection.com. Divine Intimacy Radio is a co-production of EWTN Radio and spiritualdirection.com and heard worldwide on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.